science is interesting, and if you don't agree, you can fuck off.
Science, indeed. And as I said in the introduction, it's all about Nobel Prize today.
It is indeed. And some of our thunder has been stolen by the news, I think. Yes.
That's all right. We can still talk about it in more detail.
Indeed, we can. But I think before we start, let's talk a little history and how they all came about and why and et cetera, et cetera. Obviously named after Alfred Nobel. And he made a truckload of money out of dynamite, basically. So he invented dynamite.
I didn't know that.
Aha, okay. And the reason he invented dynamite was there was this thing called nitroglycerine, which was a wonderful explosive, but it was very, very unstable. And essentially what he did was to figure out a way to make it stable. And so that's sort of the prime component of dynamite.
Pretty useful.
And he did this because his brother was killed, I believe, in a
explosion.
Yeah. So he set about sort of making this safe and everything, made dynamite, made a truckload of money, and then at the, or towards the end of his life, obviously, in his will, he left all of this money to be used for achievements in five disciplines. So chemistry, physics, physiology or medicine, literature, and peace. And then later on, in about the 1960s or something, economics was added as well, but we don't really count that. So
why not?
we won't go there. They're not, it's not a proper Nobel Prize.
What do you mean? What do you mean it's not a proper? Well, because it wasn't the original one.
Yeah, it wasn't the original one. Yeah.
So when did it start? When did he die?
So he died in around about 1895, about there. And so these have been ordered since 1901. And so obviously this is Nobel Prize season, and they've just been announced, or the physiology or medicine and the physics prizes have been announced over the last two nights. And tonight's the biggie, of course. It's chemistry tonight.
For you.
We'll be sitting there watching the live stream over a few beers, maybe.
Yeah, because the ceremony happens, it's in Sweden, isn't it?
It is in Sweden, yeah. So it's announced quarter to 11 tonight, folks. Go to the website, stream it, see what happens.
And all then right. On from there, is it peace?
Peace and literature. And then I think, economics is given
economics,
next week or something.
Right?
Well, I mean, economics is given by the Norwegians, you know, so.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah.
What?
It's all very different.
It doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah. We're not going to go there, though.
But anyway, we should probably talk specifics here. So on Monday night, the Physiology or Medicine Prize was announced.
Mm-hmm.
And this went to two guys, James Allison, who is from Texas, and Tasuku Honjo from Kyoto. And their award was for basically making the immune system fight cancer. And you kind of think, well, why doesn't the immune system fight cancer anyway? Because, you know, it's sort of an invading species and everything, and the immune system should recognize that these cancer cells are nasty. But it doesn't, because cancer cells are smart.
Okay. How smart?
Oh, very smart.
What kind of smart?
Well, what kind of smart? Okay, so the award was actually made for, and this is what the citation says, for their discovery of cancer therapy by inhibition of negative immune regulation. Okay, so we need to talk about the immune system a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And vital to the immune system are white blood cells called T cells. And they are basically sort of your first defense against sort of invading sort of bacteria, viruses, things like that. And what happens is that they sort of bind these viruses or you know, foreign bugs or whatever to themselves, and they can then figure out that these things are bad, okay, as opposed to being good. And then what then happens is that they then can start fighting these things, okay? Mm-hmm. And so what we have are proteins that accelerate these T cells into doing this, and we also have proteins that break, B-R-A-K-E, like slow down the T cells. And we need these breaking proteins, because otherwise the immune system might just go sort of haywire and just sort of start eating up all these good things as well.
Okay.
And that's what happens when you have immune, sort of autoimmune diseases, where the immune system goes all haywire. And so these two guys recognized that these breaking proteins could be the reason why cancer can sort of spread unchecked by the immune system. And so they started studying these proteins and figuring out a way to knock them out, to actually turn off the brakes.
Mm-hmm.
And what they found because of that is, and as I said, the cancer cells are busy sort of stopping that happening.
Yeah.
Okay. And so they figured out a way of doing this and using particular molecules. And now they've sort of led to this whole field of cancer immunotherapy, or what is actually called immune checkpoint therapy. And this is all to do with briefly turning off these brakes on the T cells so they can then go and hopefully target these cancer cells. And this was just sort of an idea, but they showed that this could actually work, and they've done amazing things, especially with melanoma, with patients with advanced melanoma, which is a really apparently difficult disease to treat. And they've had remarkable, remarkable results with that. So basically, that's sort of it in a nutshell. And, you know, it's really, really elegant and really, really difficult stuff to do. Obvious sort of in hindsight. You'd sort of think, well, you know, turning off, turning on, blah, blah, blah. But, you know.
Should have thought about it before.
Of course. And, in fact, other people had sort of looked at these breaking proteins at the same time. But they hadn't figured out that this might be an application of them. So so that's why these two got the Nobel Prize.
So when we're talking about positive results, are we talking about the stop the propagation of cancer cells, or are we talking about reducing...
You're talking apparently complete cures for people who've had advanced melanoma. Wow. So, you know, quite astonishing things.
Wow.
So one of the drugs that they use is a thing called Keytruda, which you may be familiar with. It was in the news, gosh, would it be a couple of years ago or something, because Pharmac wasn't going to fund it, despite the fact that it was a really, really, you know, highly effective. But I think the cost is prohibitive in that respect. So, but that would be something that people would have heard of very possibly.
That's I guess what I was going to talk about afterwards is we've got this breakthrough discovery, and that's great. But obviously, between now and the moment people with cancer can be treated using method is going to take a very long time potentially.
Well, not necessarily, because this discovery was made in sort of the mid 90s. So it's 20 years old now. And that's the thing with the Nobel Prizes. They were originally set up to recognize the finest piece of whatever done in the previous year.
Right.
Yeah.
And they have morphed from that now to be really recognizing. Well, I mean, these things are long-term studies by their very nature. You know, you make the breakthrough, but then the application takes, you know, decades, literally. And so you often find that people get recognized long after the event for these sorts of things.
So this has been used in melanoma cancer. Do you think it can be applied to other cancers as well? Is there plans to do that? Are they doing that?
They have certainly done that, and I believe that when they started, they didn't really get great results. But once they found, once they got onto sort of treating melanoma, they found really, you know, really effective.
Because
cancers can be quite varied, right?
Well, that's the thing. Cancer is not a single disease. Yeah. You know, it's a veritable multitude of diseases. So, you know, finding a one hit wonder that's going to do everything is a very, very tough thing to do. But you know, this is, I guess, the idea is revolutionary, and you know, it's going to take some work. But hopefully, on the basis of this, you know, down the track, cancer might be something that can really be treated effectively now.
Absolutely incredible.
So that's certainly worth a Nobel Prize in my book. Yeah. You know, fabulous stuff.
All right, let's move on to physics.
Okay.
Talk about the one that was awarded last night.
Indeed. Okay, so this was awarded to three scientists. So Arthur Askin, who was at Bell Labs, of all places. Okay, so not an academic. Not at a university.
Okay.
So this is an industrial, or in fact, I think they might have shut down now. I'm not sure. They may now be no longer.
Is it surprising that it goes to someone who's not an academic?
It usually does, but on occasions, like, you know, in the States, they do have these big private research corporations and stuff.
Yeah,
so,
you
know, who've got lots of money, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it certainly can happen. But he got it, and he got half of it, in fact. And then you'll be happy about this, Lisa, a French guy by the name of Gérard Mourou.
Yeah,
forgive my pronunciation.
No, that's pretty good.
Who's at the École Polytechnique.
Another school.
And his former PhD student by the name of Donna Strickland, who's now at Waterloo in Canada. And the big thing about this is that she is only the third woman to win the Nobel Prize in physics.
In the first in the past 55 years, I
the
think.
The past 55 years. So the very first was Marie Curie in 1903, and then in 1963, Maria Gippert Meyer. And then that's it in physics. So she's the third after 55 years, what? Which is pretty incredible. And kind of very, very interestingly, so... she was Moreau's PhD student at Rochester in the States. And it's very, very unusual that PhD students get recognised in Nobel Prizes.
Why is that? Is it because we think their contribution's pretty minor? Or?
Well, generally, the people who do the work are the PhD students. And that's one of the problems with awarding a prize, is who had the idea, who did the work, how do you credit that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And generally speaking, it's the PhD supervisor who has the idea, and it's the student that does the work. And there was a famous case of this a couple of weeks ago when Marcus was talking doing this. He talked about someone called Jocelyn Bell.
Yeah,
Jocelyn Bell Burnell, as she now is. And, you know, the fact that she really did all the work on pulsars and she didn't get the Nobel Prize, her PhD supervisor did. So this is good to see that, you know, the people who do the work get...
are being credited as
oh,
well.
Oh, hell yeah, yeah, yeah. And this was her first published paper as well, so wow.
Not bad. Quite a smart person, yeah. I guess.
What next?
So...
So what was it awarded for?
Okay, so the latter two got half of the prize. Excuse me. And Arthur Askin got half of the prize. He's 96.
Oh.
So I think that makes him the oldest laureate. So he must have been waiting for a hell of a long time to get this.
Yeah, because you can't, let's just remind people that you can't get it posthumously.
No, indeed. Uh-huh. And he was a bit miffed because they did give a similar sort of prize about 10 years ago for similar-ish sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And he was a bit miffed that he didn't get that apparently. But, so...
Made it in the end.
The citation reads for groundbreaking inventions in the field of laser physics. And actually, okay. Another aside, I think it was last year or the year before, somebody got the prize. It might have been in physiology or whatever, and they died 3 days before.
Did they
the prize
still
was
give
announced.
It? Okay.
They still gave it to
okay.
them.
Okay, that's.
But oh,
fair
imagine
enough.
That.
Yeah,
oh,
I know. Don't you know it beforehand?
No,
do
you
just
don't.
Find
oh
out?
No. Okay. You get the call from Stockholm, and that's it. So watch the live stream. It's really cool. Like, you know, they bring
what
up these
people. What
time
did you say? 11 o'clock at night?
Quarter to 11, I think it's okay. announced. So there you go. There's something
right.
to do tonight.
I'll be on my computer.
Anyway, it's all to do with lasers. Okay, and so this guy Askin invented these things called molecular tweezers. And essentially
trying to
what...
picture it in my head, but all I can see is actual tweezers.
So what essentially he... could do was to take individual molecules in a laser beam. He could isolate individual molecules in a laser beam. And the way that they showed this on the stream was basically you get a hairdryer and a ping pong ball, okay? And you put a ping pong ball on top of a hairdryer and you can levitate that ping pong ball, okay? Because the upward force from the hairdryer is counteracting the down force of gravity.
Mm-hmm.
You can do the same thing with molecules and light, okay? Light emits or has a force, okay?
Is it heat?
No, it's essentially the fact that light is a particle.
Okay.
And so we think of these particles, you know, hitting these things and molecules, right. And they can...
Always like in a direction.
Yeah, in a particular direction. And so therefore, if you can exactly counterbalance the effect of gravity by shooting a laser up at a particular molecule... and you do it just in the right way, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's not an easy thing to do. Then you can isolate a single molecule in a laser beam, and then you can study it. You can study single molecules, single atoms, you know, quite amazing stuff. So that's what these molecular tweezers supposedly do. And so he got that for that. And then these guys got the other half of it for similar sort of stuff, again, to do with lasers, but to get very, very short pulses of lasers. Now, I don't know if any of you guys have had LASIK surgery or something like that.
No. I might get it for my eyes sooner rather than later.
Okay. But. So, they use pulsed lasers in LASIK surgery. So they use these very, very precisely timed and precisely energetic laser bursts, okay? Laser light is potentially very, very damaging. So if you just shine it, you know, bam, just, straight on, you know. So that's why you need these very, very short pulses. so that it doesn't sort of harm whatever it is that you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was with Strickland and Moreau, they figured out a way essentially of getting really good intensity on really, really, really short pulses of lasers. Okay, we're talking femtoseconds here.
And what's femto?
A femtosecond is 10 to the minus 15
okay.
of a second, which is just unimaginably small. It makes it makes no sense. We cannot comprehend it. But let's just say that it's really, 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 really small. And or really, really, really short, sorry. And so they invented a thing called chirped pulse amplification. And what they did was to take light, they'd stretch the light, they'd amplify it, and then they'd recompress the light. And that sounds weird. And I'll say I'm the first not to be able to understand that either. I don't know how the hell they did this. But the fact is that they did. It involved apparently a 2.5 kilometer length of optical fiber, apparently, to be able to do this, to be able to stretch out the light and then compress
not
it again.
Not too small.
But they found that they could then amplify the signals of these really, really fast laser pulses. Generally, if you try and do that, what happens is the whole thing burns out. It just gets too high energy.
Okay.
They found a way of sort of overcoming that. And for that, they, again, won the Nobel Prize. And again, you know, sort of it certainly does have applications in the real world. And again, this was done, was it the 80s or the 90s? I've forgotten now. It might have even been the 80s. So again, they were sort of waiting around a wee bit of time for this. And this, this old guy. But you know,
so what are some of the possible applications, just to sort of wrap
you know,
your head around it?
That whole thing about surgery and and anything
so
where you...
Is it just to make it safer or...?
Essentially to make it that you can actually do it without harming the surrounding tissue. You want to sort of take off that cornea or whatever, you know, you take off that flap off that cornea.
Are there currently... Is it currently...
Yes.
A lot of sort of danger with it, with that.
No, not now. But again, this is an application of something that's come from a long time ago.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, these are your sort of real life applications. And again, if you're studying molecules, which is what, you know, chemists and physicists do, again, you don't want to destroy them. So that's why it sort of links in with the first one. If you're holding a molecule on a laser beam, you don't, a biological molecule, and that's what he was very interested in, was, you know, individual biological molecules. You don't want to kill it with your laser beam. And so, again, there are ways of being able to do that now without killing it. So, you know, lasers are amazing things. You know, one of the great inventions of the 20th century. And there's still controversy over who, in fact, made the first laser. And there was a Nobel Prize given for that, which is full of controversy. But that's a story for another day,
drama.
I think, probably. Yes, yes.
All right. Yeah, unfortunately, we have to wrap it up.
Can I just say one more thing?
Okay, go for it.
You're not allowed to give Nobel Prizes retrospect or posthumously.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to revoke them?
Oh.
Because there's a lady by the name of Aung San Suu Kyi who won the Nobel Prize in Peace in 1991. I wonder whether people are thinking about that or not.
Yeah.
Well, we might find out if you can do it or not, if they do it.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sure there's more to that story than meets the eye, but
probably
doesn't sound good. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for this. Maybe next week we can talk about the other...
Well, oh, we'll be talking chemistry, don't you worry.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course, all right.
And literature if Milan Kundera wins it, but he never will. But yeah, anyway.
We'll
definitely
see who
not
does.
Economics.
No, who cares? All right, well, thanks very much, Alan.
Okay.
We'll see you next week.
Will do. See ya.
That was Dear Science.
All right, just a couple...